Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Tonight, Ohio Governor John Kasich delivers his third State of the State address, this time from Lima. How do you like the idea of getting out of the statehouse for this annual event? And what are you looking for from the governor in his address? Of course, you're not exactly getting out of the statehouse. You're probably not going anywhere special for this, but the backdrop will be different. Maybe the energy will be a little bit different. What do you think about that? Are you interested in taxes, education, mental health, hunger, the much ballyhooed recovery, or the 1.8 million Ohioans, including more than 640,000 children, who still live in poverty? Share your thoughts about the state of the state of Ohio. What are you looking for from the governor tonight? Give us a call and join our open forum. The number is 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can tweet us at WOSU All Sides. And you can go onto our Facebook page and post your comment, or maybe you have a question you'd like to pose the rest of our listening audience or viewing audience, as the case may be. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. We want to talk about the governor's State of the State address scheduled for this evening in Lima. The budget will be his main focus. There will be a focus this year, apparently. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. So let's look at what he is likely to discuss tonight, a la the Columbus Dispatch this morning. Revamping income and sales taxes. The governor wants to cut income taxes by 20%, plus an additional 50% for most small businesses, saving Ohioans about $2.7 billion a year, and also lower the state sales tax rate to 5% from 5.5%, while expanding services subject to the state to the sales tax. So they'll expand the base of the sales tax, but they'll lower the actual rate, costing Ohioans about $1.9 billion a year to do that, and increase the severance tax on gas and oil, those fracking wells you hear quite a bit about these days. That will total more than $300 million by 2016. The result, according to the Kasich administration, would be a net tax cut of $450 million by 2016. The governor says the tax cuts lead to jobs. His critics say his plan doesn't necessarily work that way, that it is tilted toward high-income Ohioans who will benefit more from an income tax cut than lower-income Ohioans who are hurt more by sales tax increases, especially the kind that are targeted at things like laundromats, haircuts, and so forth. Give us a call. What do you think? 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and we have an open forum this hour. We want to talk about what you think, what you're thinking about, and what you want to know about the governor's State of the State address scheduled for this evening at 6:30 at Lima. The timing doesn't work out very well for me. Maybe you like it. It's usually around noon, traditionally, but Governor Kasich likes to change traditions, and one of them is the venue. Last year he was in Steubenville. This year he's going to be in Lima. If he is someplace outside the statehouse next year, it'll be a real tradition, three times in a row. Medicaid expansion. A lot of people, a lot of his people in the Republican Party are troubled by this. The governor has said he wants to expand Medicaid to cover an additional 275,000 Ohioans under the federal state health care program. He says Ohio should take advantage of it. It's $13 billion coming from the federal government over the course of 7 years. For the first 3 years, I believe, 100% would be covered for those 275,000 Ohioans. After that, 90%. Or it would scale back to 90% over the course of a few years. Those 275,000 Ohioans are people that would not qualify for it otherwise. So they're expanding the eligibility for Medicaid in Ohio. And every state has the opportunity to do it. Other Republican governors have done this as well. But conservative, fiscal conservatives, Tea Party members and so forth are generally opposed to expanding our obligation on Medicaid until we can get our deficit under control. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or check out our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Hi, Ed in Baltimore. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
A couple things. First of all, I don't have a problem with the governor moving the state of the state around the state.
Okay.
I've read some articles, and it's really not written in stone that the governor has to do it in the capital, mm-hmm. in Columbus. Taking it to other parts of the state, I think, shows an interest in other parts of the state. I'm also for his increasing the severance tax on the fracking. That will still keep us below the states around us. So those people that are saying increasing taxes will just throw jobs away. Well, if you increase a tax and you're still a half a percent or a percent under what the surrounding states are, where are you throwing the jobs to? They're still going to have to come here to get that particular commodity. What I have a problem with is a lot of his ideas about the taxes on service industries. You know, haircuts and things like that. A lot of these companies, small barber does not have the capacity to look at the taxes that he has to keep and how is he going to set them aside. Doesn't have the computer programming necessarily to keep track of what he might have to hold in abeyance for the state to turn in when he needs to. And the one that really galls me is the Republicans consistently complain about the quote-unquote death tax. But a lot of the problems with that is that a lot of that money that is taxed is actually shielded earlier in life. It's not taxed. For instance, agriculture is taxed at a lot lower rate than other types of land. So people with income and lawyers can figure out ways to shield themselves from that. In fact, there's still like a $300,000, or there was before they eliminated it.
Right. I was going to say that one, that's already eliminated.
Yeah. But what really upsets me about that is that they want to tax funeral services. Now, what is a death tax if not taxing funeral services? You know, there's some hypocrisy there. They want to shield money of wealthy people from the estate tax, but they want to tax everybody on funeral services, which is the last thing you do on earth.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ed, for your call.
You're welcome.
Take care. The number is 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Do you agree with Ed that some of the services that will be now taxed if the governor's proposal is approved by the Ohio General Assembly? It's mostly service-related industries like funeral homes, laundromats. I guess I keep going back to laundromats because back in my salad days, I used a laundromat. And I'm wondering how much that would have affected my income if I had to use, had to pay more in taxes. I don't know. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Luckily, my husband can fix our laundry. Our washer and dryer whenever they go on the fritz, so we're really lucky. Hi, Steve in the West Side. You're on the air. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Are you there? Hello, Steve? Well, it looks like we lost Steve, but he can call us back at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. It looks like there's something wrong with our phones right now. We're going to get the technicians in and check them out. In the meantime, you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the Facebook page and post your question or comment there, and we can have a conversation. I've mentioned revamping the income and sales taxes. I've also mentioned the Medicaid expansion. School funding is another big issue, another hot topic. The governor calls it his Achievement Everywhere plan. It would add $1.2 billion, but 60% of Ohio school districts would get no additional money in the next 2 years. The governor has said the money should follow the student, not the district. But critics condemn the lack of funding increases for poorer districts, ranging from Cleveland to those in southeastern Ohio. Send us an email at allsides@wosu.org, or you can tweet us at WOSU All Sides, or you can go onto our Facebook page and check it out there. We're working on the phones. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Everybody's an expert on their own lives. And on Talk of the Nation, we ask you to share your stories.
These techniques were used on me when I went through resistance training, sleep deprivation, putting bags over our heads.
I'm Neil Conan. Real stories from real people about real issues that matter to you. Join us. Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon from 2 until 4 here on 89.7 NPR News. Expect a rain-snow mix for today, becoming all snow this afternoon. Little to no accumulation, though, and windy conditions today. Cloudy skies for tonight, a low of 16 degrees, partly sunny for Wednesday with a high of 27. A few clouds Wednesday night and a low of 16, mostly sunny Thursday with a high of 31. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We have an open forum on All Sides this hour. We're talking about what our expectations are for the governor's State of the State address tonight in Lima. The phones are back on track, so give us a call, 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Don't be afraid. You can go onto Facebook and post your question if you have one, or comment on Facebook as well, or you can tweet us at WOSU All Sides. Lots of options. But right now, nobody's availing themselves of the phone options. So now's the chance. Now's your magic moment to get on the phone and give us a call if you want to talk about the governor's State of the State address tonight. He's supposed to talk about his budget proposal, rolled that out last week. We've had a couple of shows about it. One of them, one idea we didn't get to was the Ohio Turnpike. The governor would sell bonds backed by Ohio Turnpike revenue for $3 billion in highway improvements. He said the move would free up money for needed highway and bridge repairs. Critics say it represents an improper use of the road, I guess revenue from the road, that revenue from the turnpike should go to the turnpike to keep the turnpike in shape. What do you think? Should it be spread around the state, or should it stay on this turnpike? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Do you think the Ohio economy is taking off? That's the word we get. Unemployment is below the national average. It fell 1.2 percentage points last year to 6.7%. That's more than a full point below the national rate. Exports grew by 11%, and wages climbed by nearly 3% in year-to-year comparisons. But the 5.19 million jobs in Ohio at the end of 2012 was well short of the 5.44 million jobs in June 2007, the month before the state's economy began its nosedive. So we're not back to where we were. And a lot of folks say that the jobs that people are getting don't pay as much. They don't pay as well. They don't have the same kind of benefits. We have some 1.8 million Ohioans living at the poverty level. Wouldn't want to live at three times or four times or five times the poverty level, let alone the poverty level. Of those, about 600,000 of them are children. What do you make of that? Is the economy worth crowing about? Are we on our way back? Give us a call, 614 292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. But the phones are back, so give it a go. It's always fun to hear your voices on All Sides. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I stand corrected. That's 641,000 children in Ohio living in poverty. So the jobs numbers are improving, but the bottom line for a lot of people is not. And a lot of Ohioans still work two and three jobs, none of which give them the benefits they need to support their family. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Hi, Ben in Dublin. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I guess I'm just disturbed, pardon me, by what I see as a trend nationwide. I recently heard about Kansas, where they're doing the same kinds of things, that is cutting or getting rid of the state income tax, moving to regressive sales taxes. And it's sad to see Ohio go in that direction. It's not surprising that Kasich is interested in raising taxes, but sales taxes. I guess what disturbs me, too, is that a lot of people don't understand who the real job creators are. I ask my students to point to a job creator in the classroom, and most of them are looking around for stockbrokers or wealthy people. And then I point out to them that they should point to themselves and their neighbors, because consumers are the real job creators. If there are opportunities to make money, investors will come. But if there are no consumers buying goods, investors are generally too smart to invest in something where they know there will be no customers. So it's just sad that that people still haven't realized that the foundation of our economy is not having more rich people. There have always been lots of rich people, but the foundation of our economy is mass production and mass consumption.
Let's hear from Ed on Facebook before I let you go, Ben. Ed says, we are now a service-based economy. It is only right that the new source of tax revenue shift to this source of commerce. Manufacturing no longer generates the tax revenue it once did.
Well, that still avoids the question of who should be paying. That is, should we have a progressive tax mm-hmm. system or a regressive one? The idea that we're taking away from people what they have earned or what they deserve is false. I think we don't hear often much talk about, well, why are people paid what they're paid? A lot of people would like to believe that it's the market that decides that. But check out the pay of CEOs, and it has nothing to do with the law of supply and demand. It's pretty much a fixed system. Fellow CEOs deciding pay for one another. So I just can't believe, for instance, that someone who's making millions of dollars a year works harder than anyone who's working two or three jobs just to scrape by. Hmm.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ben.
Okay.
Take care.
You.
Bye-bye. From Ben on Facebook. Ben on Facebook writes, not the same Ben, I imagine. He writes, I am not exactly sure why our governor believes that fracking brings much-needed jobs to Ohio. Does he really believe that this is a job creator? Did I hear correctly that he is looking to tax said industry? Do you know if this tax will be balanced with the increased service tax? Well, for one thing, what I understand about the tax regarding fracking is it's called, I think, an extraction tax, and it's taxing what they pull out of the earth. So it's taxing what they're taking away, the oil and gas. And one of the bones of contention about that has been not the tax itself, although some people oppose it and other people support it, but where the revenue from that tax would go. And the communities where the fracking, which is, of course, that form of mining that shoots chemical and salt, sand into these crevices in the earth and blows out the gas and so forth, the fracking process. Some people who live in the communities where this is taking place think that the revenues from that said proposed extraction tax, some of the revenue should go specifically to them. It should not be spread across the state. It shouldn't go into the general revenue fund. So there's a lot of discussion about the fracking tax itself. But as far as fracking bringing jobs to Ohio, fracking is generating income tax. Fracking is generating, creating paychecks. People are working at that business. People are building restaurants and they're building, putting up, you know, different kinds of services for people who work out there in the fracking fields. Will it be permanent and forever? Probably not, but for the foreseeable future. So those are jobs there. There's questions about whether the really high paying jobs are just people coming from other states who are more experienced in the business and just shifting to Ohio. So it's not really new wages, those big the big wages from fracking are not necessarily going to Ohioans, but time will tell whether Ohio is able to catch up and educate enough people to get the experience they need to start participating in that more high-paying, in those more high-paying jobs. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Dave in Licking County, you're on the air. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'm calling because the company that I work for is a large company. They have, it's a truck stop, and they have several locations all across America. They just dropped a bombshell on us that they're dropping all of us down except for a couple managers. And this is nationwide. And it's not just them. It's McDonald's, it's Wendy's, Burger King, any service-related company. They're dropping their employees suddenly down to 29 hours that had been at full time. And this was without any kind of preparation, any time to, you know, make other arrangements. I mean, next week we're all down to no more than 29 hours.
Why?
You know, there's a lot of speculation about that. Of course, they have their spin that they put on it. And they want people to be mad at Obamacare.
Huh.
They want to blame it on that, you know. And it's just their excuse to drop us down to save from having to pay benefits for people so human beings can live a decent life. So as soon as we, it looks like the economy's starting to recover, here they go sabotaging it. I want to share that information because it's not being talked about. I don't hear anybody talking about it.
What's the name of the company?
It's Travel Centers of America.
And those are like big truck stops, right?
Yes, they are. One I work at 37 and 70.
How long have you been working for this company?
For over a year.
And how did the announcement arrive? Was it your boss that told you, or was it an email, or what
well,
happened?
At first it was just word of mouth, and then my boss told me, she, you know, have you heard the rumors? Of course I've heard the rumors, you know. And she let me know that they were true, that they don't want anybody to have more than 29 hours.
And they're blaming it on Obamacare.
Well, that's employees talking back and forth. The spin that the company's putting on it is that they're doing it because they feel like they're going to get better service.
You're going to work harder for them if your hours are cut back.
Right. They think that they're going to have better service if they have a part-time staff all of a sudden, which I think is a bunch of baloney.
Hmm.
We all know it is a bunch of baloney. I think they're really doing it just to save from, you know, having people to get benefits. There, the magic number is 29 hours. At 30 hours, you're considered full-time.
Right, for benefits and so forth. Right, and that's right.
It's cruel. It's heartless. I got a junior in high school and a freshman in high school. Got at home a vehicle. You know, it's just, you know, we have lives.
Yeah.
It's heartless and cruel, and they're sabotaging the economy like they do every time, in my opinion, that there's a Democrat in the office.
Well, thanks for your call, Dave. I really wish you luck. I hope you can find a better job. And
I appreciate all good-hearted people not shopping there, not patronizing them in any way. if we were organized at all as a group, we'd all walk out together, but that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. And keep those good folks in your prayers, if you would, please.
Will do, Dave. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the state of the state. What's the state of your state in Ohio? The governor is going to talk about the state of his state tonight in Lima. We've been talking about a few details. We just heard about the state of one person's personal economy is not so good. The company's cutting back the workers' hours to under 30 so that they can avoid, or, well, at least the upshot of that will be they can avoid the legally required benefits that go along with a 30-hour work week. Jason in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Jason.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling to kind of, you know, I'm new to Ohio, and I don't know if it's because I'm seeing everything with fresh eyes, but it seems to me like this is just a major shift towards, you know, burdening the lower, you know, lower classes, because, you know, all studies have shown that lower income workers, lower income families spend a higher proportion of their earnings than those that earn more. And by shifting this tax base to a sales tax model instead of a progressive income tax, instead of taxing higher income at a higher rate, we're taxing spending at a higher rate, which is proportionally the lower classes.
In a service-based economy, which is the way we were described a little while ago, I think in an email, more of our revenue, more of where we spend our money is in the services, not in goods, but in services. And some people believe that it's more fair if you're expanding that part of the economy to expand the tax to that part of the economy.
Well, I completely agree. That's very fair, but you know, if I'm making just simple numbers, if I'm making $100 a week and spending 50 of it on services, I'm increasing half of my, you know, I'm increasing half of my, the taxes on half of my income. But if I make five times that and I'm still only spending the same $50, I'm proportionally paying less taxes.
What do you do about it?
You keep the system, you know, you keep the proportional tax system and don't drastically decrease it like is being discussed. But, you know, there's no need not to tax these services, but it has to be done fairly instead of with this broad, well, increase one, decrease the other across the board. And it's just shifting the balance instead of keeping the balance the way it should be.
Well, you're going to get your income tax cut, right?
Well, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's getting their income tax cut.
Well, unless they don't pay enough to pay income tax in the first place. In case they don't earn enough to pay income tax in the first place. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But there are plenty of people who afford to pay income taxes and are still getting by on the skin of their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And by increasing the service taxes, it's only going to, you know, deduct more taxes from them in the long term.
Okay. All right. Jason, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Some are expecting that the governor's state of the state this week will sound something like a stump speech for 2014. Of course, you know, this is the year that they start running for election, really. It starts that much sooner. Everyone's already trying to tee up who will be running against the governor in 2014. So this speech might have a little bit different tenor tonight than it did last year. A lot of people weren't happy with the length of his speech last year. It was about an hour and a half long and really didn't get into any proposals. He did that later on when he brought up his mid-year budget review, Ohio State budget review. So what do you think? You thinking about hearing something that will be political tonight, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. To our last caller's point, we have an email from Frank. He says, on the sales tax hike, long story short, lower-income individuals actually pay lower taxes than higher-income individuals before even considering tax breaks. So it isn't a loophole issue. Sales taxes provably disproportionately target the poor. And it's a shame that the progressive income taxes get so much press when overall we actually have a regressive tax system. Well, I mean, if we're switching to sales taxes for more of our tax revenue, I guess that might be the case. What do you think? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mary in Columbus, you're on the air. Hello, Mary.
Hi. Something that I want to hear is that he's going to put more money into Ohio State, and Ohio State is going to put more money into training young men for the jobs that are most needed nowadays, the new jobs, and being trained for what's coming. And you know, they're bringing folks up from the West for, you know, the people over in the Appalachian areas are not getting the jobs. For one thing, they don't have the right skills. For another, they're not passing the drug tests. And one of the things that I would like to hear is that people that from Appalachian area would be able to get subsidized for the tuition at Ohio State University. They can't afford to come there. They can't afford to get the education that's needed for the jobs of the future. So they're not going to have the skills. And I'm 79, so I'm a dinosaur. But I put myself through school, and sometimes I worked full-time and went to night. I carried 15 hours or 10 hours at night, and sometimes I worked a half a day and carried more hours. But you can't do that nowadays. And one of the things that was possible when I went to school is, you would get a book that told you when the classes were going to be for the next 3-4 quarters, and you could look ahead of time, and you could see what classes that you intended to take were only offered once, and make sure you got it when it was available that time
so
around.
So you don't think that the way things are structured now with higher education, it makes it easy enough for people in Appalachia to get the education they need to get a job?
No, because they can't get the money granted to them.
They can't afford it.
They can't
afford
it.
They're not ready. I mean, you have to be ready to go to Ohio State. They're only taking the creme de la creme now.
Well, and that is also so that puts these people out of getting any kind of an education there too.
Well, there's a lot of other colleges besides and universities besides Ohio State.
Well, and I would like to hear the statistics on Ohio State. Who are they taking? I don't think they're paying attention to serving the state. That's, you know, they're interested in bringing in an awful lot of people from other countries, for one thing. And I don't think that what they're interested in is serving Ohio State. And I would like to know how many. I would like to know the statistics for Ohio State. How many people actually graduate? How many people are able to walk out of Ohio State and get jobs?
Well, a higher percentage than there used to be when they took anybody in. I know that's the case. But Mary, we're kind of winding around here. I need to take a quick break, and I thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We have an open forum this hour, one more segment to go, so queue up there, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Look forward to hearing you either way or via Facebook. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
If your child is being bullied on social media sites by schoolmates, when is it appropriate for you or the school to intervene? That's one of the questions we'll discuss on the next Fresh Air with Emily Bazelon, author of Sticks and Stones, about the culture of bullying and efforts to stop it. Her research took her to homes, schools, courtrooms, and the offices of Facebook. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins later today at noon. This is 89.7 NPR News, and in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, it's Tech Tuesday, with a discussion of educational apps for your smartphone or tablet. Also, more on security and passwords from PayPal. Join us for that and more during Tech Tuesday from 11 till noon. And Governor John Kasich delivers his State of the State address Tuesday evening, and 89.7 NPR News will have live coverage and analysis. The governor travels to Lima, and the event he is expected to discuss the state budget, education, job creation, and more. It's the State of the State address, and it's this evening, beginning at 6:30, here on 89.7 NPR News. There's a chance of some snow today and windy conditions with temperatures falling throughout the day. It's currently 29 degrees in downtown Columbus. Cloudy skies for tonight and a low of 16. All Sides continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We have an open forum this hour on All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're kind of focused on the governor's State of the State address. It's scheduled for tonight in Lima. If you want to comment, what are your hopes and dreams for the state of the state of Ohio? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And continuing along on the theme of the sales tax expansion, Ron in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a complaint about the sales tax. I think it's going to be a disaster for actually everybody in the state of Ohio. It's going to result in some people being triple taxed with rates above 11% or more.
How so? What do you mean?
Well, I'm an independent real estate broker. I have a subchapter S corporation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So every dime I take in for commission is my income.
Right.
So I'm going to get slapped with the gross income tax, sales tax, of 5%. Okay. Then I got to take that money. And, I take out expenses, and I got to pay a business tax on that, on whatever income is left, okay? Now, he's reducing the business tax, but it's reducing the net that I'm paying on, not the gross amount. So the gross receipts tax that I have to pay more than dwarfs any savings from the business tax, as well as the third level of taxation, which transfers, the money left over to my personal return, which I get taxed on that as well. So that's three layers of taxes that I get that most people don't get. So, it's going to result in, the gross receipts tax is 5%. The business tax is, right now it's 5%. He says it's going to cut it in half, which is another, 2.5%. So that's 7.5% right there. Plus your state income tax, if you're, depends on the level you make, of course, but that's another 4.5%. So you're looking at, 11, 12% tax rate. If you slap on a local tax, city tax, you're looking at another 1.5 to 2.5%. So that's, you're looking at, 15% tax rate. Plus I have to pay a full 15% Social Security income tax rate. So, I mean, it's just a disaster. I mean, I was watching a TV show called On the Record, Ohio State University. And
WOSU's On the Record. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching that show, and they were saying, well, attorneys need to pay more and all this stuff. But, I mean, if you think about it this way, if an attorney makes $1 million and he has to pay 5% on that income, that's $50,000 that goes to the state. I mean, that's somebody's job right there. So it's going to affect people's jobs. I mean, he's not going to be able to hire an administrative person. It's going to affect everybody. It's also inflationary too, because everybody's going to be paying more for all these services, which
except for large corporations and large companies that have in-house laundry services, that have in-house lawyers, that have in-house accounting, and so forth.
Right. Well, he's touting this as a you know, because I called to talk to a staffer at his office. Well, you know, he said, well, we're going to take the small businessman and leave more money in his pocket. I'm like, how so? You know, I moved here from Illinois because I saw what a disaster that state was.
Mm-hmm.
They were raising taxes and increasing spending. And I came here because I trusted John Kasich after his work on the budget for the, you know, the first budget that he did that balanced, plus the work that he did in Congress at the end of, you know, Clinton's term.
Mm-hmm.
And I come here and I'm looking at a higher budget with increase in taxes. And honestly, if I, you know, if I wanted somebody to increase my taxes and increase spending in the state budget, I could have stayed in Illinois and had the Democrats do it. And honestly, people in Illinois have been trying to look for more revenue for years. They in their wildest dreams would never be able to pass a service tax like this. Never. And here I come to a Republican state, which I think I'd be pretty safe. I mean, there's not many more, you know.
It's pretty much all Republican.
Left.
Yep.
Yeah. And they're doing the same thing. I'm like, you know, and I moved here. I still live in an apartment because I don't want to buy a house because I lost, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars on my last house. And I can easily do the same thing, and a lot of other people are doing the same thing. Just pick up and go to another state. I mean, 11 to 13% income tax, state income tax rates. I mean, that's more than what California and New York has. So, I mean, I don't know what he's thinking.
Okay. Well, Ron, we'll put it out there, see what folks say. Thanks a lot for your call today, though. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hang in there.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Judy and Bexley, you say that the sales tax will be a, quote, tax by choice, and it will affect big spenders more. How so?
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
I didn't hear my name said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome to the show.
When you go to service providers, you choose the level. So someone who's going to have a big expensive funeral is going to pay a higher proportional tax than someone who has an inexpensive one. I spend $100 easily on my hair a month. My husband goes to VIP and, you know, gets a very low-budget haircut. So I don't think – I think the rich will pay more because they choose to spend more.
Yeah, but some of the services are things that people don't have a choice on, like laundromats. They have to go to a laundromat to get their clothes washed. They don't own a washer and dryer.
So, I mean, that one's true. Maybe that one shouldn't be in the mix. You know, but that's a small, I'm sure that's a small income stream as proposed to the state.
Well, an income stream to the state, yes, but the cost to the taxpayer?
Well, I mean, maybe dry cleaners shouldn't be, I mean, maybe laundromats shouldn't be included. But dry cleaning, again, is if you're doing a lot of fancy suits or a lot of expensive clothing, that says something about the kind of money you have to spend as opposed to people who just don't have those kinds of clothes and just don't have a need to dry clean them. They wouldn't be spending that proportion of their income on that service. Does that make sense?
Well, I understand absolutely what you're saying. There's, I think it's something like 82 or 92 different new services that will be taxed. Legal fees will be taxed. So, you know, for people who are lower income, now you know, can barely afford a lawyer as it is, they're always expensive, to have a tax slapped on it for them will be more of a burden than, say, somebody who uses a lawyer all the time and may have one on retainer or that sort of a thing.
Well,
but everybody needs a lawyer.
Not all the time.
Well, no, not all the time.
I haven't used a lawyer in 15 years, you know, and that was a divorce lawyer. It's not like I have a lot of, you know, land acquisitions and a lot of things going on that I would use a lawyer. You know, the example of being short $50,000 of your profits and you wouldn't hire a secretary, lawyers aren't going to do without secretaries. Yes, the high-paying lawyer might make less money, but, you know, when you're talking about the rich should be taking the proportional burden, you know, so they don't have enough money for 5 extra cars. They only have enough money for 4 extra cars, you know. So be it. You know what I mean? I don't think taxing services, you know, I just would like to see it. 92 is a lot, you know. You know, if they're taxing daycare centers or something like that. Yeah, I think there's some things that shouldn't be taxed, things that people have to do so they can work. I don't think those kinds of things should be taxed. But I wouldn't throw out the whole thing as totally unfair to tax a haircut. Because if you're taxing a $15 haircut versus a $150 haircut, you're talking about a big difference.
Okay.
And there'll be more jobs for people setting up inexpensive businesses to cut hair. I mean, you know, there'll be more jobs for people to go around to small businesses and say, oh, well, we'll do all your computer tax paperwork for you for a nominal fee. You know, it'll there's a balance to it. I don't think it is all horrible.
Okay.
But that was my comment.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Judy. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513. Trevor in Columbus, you agree with Judy?
Actually, yeah, not really. Thanks for having me on, by the way.
You're welcome.
So a few people have mentioned that the rich pay more in taxes overall, which is true. But the issue that I take with the sales tax, increasing the sales tax and lowering the income tax, I mean, this is the same Reaganomics stuff that Republicans have been pushing for a long time. And overall, as one caller noted, the poor middle class do pay a higher percentage of their income for goods that they need and also for taxes. So the issue is not who's paying. You know, the rich obviously will pay more because they make more income and can spend more money. But the what they're spending is a much lower percentage of the overall money that they're making, whereas with the poor middle class, they have to spend a much higher percentage of their weekly take to be able to just get by on the things that they need. And I think that this is the same kind of tax strategy that overall will wind up costing jobs, because by taking away money from the poor middle class, I think that's going to lower aggregate demand in the long run. And so I don't see this tax strategy benefiting anyone except for the wealthy who are already well off.
Okay. Trevor, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513. Doug in Westerville, you're an attorney. What do you think about the income tax cut slash the sales tax increase for your services?
I think Ron and Trevor have the right idea. I think Judy is being overly idealistic in her assessment. I am an attorney, and I'll tell you, I chuckled when Ron talked about attorneys making $1 million. There just aren't that many attorneys anymore in the world, or at least in the United States, who are making those incredible salaries. There's a glut of attorneys in the nation and in Ohio. Every law school in Ohio is being concerned right now because kids are not applying for law school anymore, and they're looking at layoffs. But the point is, as an attorney, I've only been an attorney for 4 or 5 years now. The people who need attorneys the most anymore are people who can afford them the least. And if I'm going to have to start changing my pricing structure with clients that I work with, I'm not going to take the money I make and then pay the government a sales tax. I'm going to charge my clients that sales tax. And I think barbers are going to do that, and anybody else, realtor, anybody else who's going to be subject to these 90-some new professions that are going to have new sales taxes. The courts right now are being stymied by people who are trying to represent themselves, getting stuck, trying to find an attorney who will represent them at a below market rate. Sometimes I'm that attorney. I've had clients who will beg me, will I represent them? If they'll pay me $20 a month, will I represent them over the course of 14 or 18 hours while during a divorce or a dissolution or something like that? It's a tough situation. And if I have to tell them, well, you know what, if I'm willing to do that, it's now going to be, $20.50 a month that you're going to have to come up with. These are people who just can't afford that. I don't think this is going to create new jobs at all. If anything, I think it's going to make people less likely to use the services that they might have considered using before.
And you're going to pass on the sales tax to your clients because then the income tax cut will be more beneficial to you.
I'm not sure that's true either.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm a poor attorney, and I'm not one of those million-dollar attorneys. I honestly made less than $20,000 last year as an attorney. So I'm going to pass it on because they're the ones who are supposed to be paying the state for my services, not me.
Real quick, Beth made the assertion that poor people really don't need attorneys that often.
You get a judge on the show sometime, and they'll talk with, when a person does not understand the law and they're trying to represent themselves and hoping that it's going to be something like they see on the Jerry Springer show, that's a judge's nightmare.
Okay.
When someone just wants to go into a courtroom and have an argument with somebody else and have a judge decide who's right, that's not what law is all about.
All righty. I want to get to a few more. Yeah, thank you for calling. Appreciate it, Doug. Just some of those new taxable services, horse boarding and training, pet grooming, marine towing services, packing and crating, refuse collection, insurance services, investment counseling, loan broker fees, property sales agents, real estate management, real estate title abstracts, service charges on banking institutions, ticker tape reporting, accounting, cutting, coloring, styling of hair, dating services, debt counseling, fishing and hunting guide services, funeral services, laundry and dry cleaning services, legal services, mailbox rentals, tax return prep, tax agents, travel agent services, lobby and consulting. Let's see, attorneys, architects, credit rating services, data mining services, billiard parlors, bowling alleys, cable TV services, amusement park admission and rides, admission to professional sports events. How much more can they, of that blood can they suck out of us? Let's see, electronic goods downloaded, music downloaded, movies, digital video downloaded, books downloaded, travel agent services, telemarketing services on contract, radio and television, local advertising, well, we don't do that here, public relations consulting. Well, I didn't even get close to the end of that list, but there you have it. Thanks to everybody for, I'm sorry I couldn't get to all the calls and emails, but thank you so much for listening and joining the conversation today. I really enjoyed it. I hope you did too. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.